and she sways to whatever song plays without a care in the world. And I'm sitting here wearing the weight of the world on my shoulder. It's been a long day, school work to do. She's feeling that he's saying, "Dad, I need you." There's a ball at the game.
Hallelujah. Man. Nice. Nice. This word with you. It blessed me when the Lord began to show me some things, and it reminded me of my relationship with my earthly father who has gone to be with the Lord. But it is something that was very powerful to me because it resonated in my spirit. So what I want you to do is turn to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, put your attention to verse 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you that the promises are yea and amen. Father, I agree and I line up with your word to receive. I thank you, Father, that we are in position to receive. And Father, that we are enacted, Father God, our faith with you. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all of God's children said amen. Put your attention back to verse 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Did you notice that he talked about a grandmother and talked about a mother? Where is the mention of his father? I began to look at this on a personal note. When my father was raising me, he raised me as an earthly father knew, only as he knew how. As his father raised him. His father went to be on with the Lord early on in his life, so the only thing he could do was raise as his stepfather raised him. My dad had a tendency to want to be out in the street because he was a young man growing up. He did his things. He knew how to get by in life by doing what he needed to do to get by. And so what he did in life was begin to show me is that no one's going to give you things. You just got to go and take what you need. Now, for a young boy growing up, you think that that's okay because daddy said it? That's all that matters because daddy said it. But how many of you know that sometimes when dads tell you something, you don't know what dad learned in his youth? You just take what mom and dad tell you to be law. If you ever had a dad look over at you and say, do that one more time. Do that one more time. You already knew what was coming. If you had a mama that looked over at you and just gave you the look, you know what I'm talking about. There's relationship that is there for you to have an understanding how far you can push the envelope. How far you can go before you get in trouble. But with my dad, he began to show me the things only that he knew. He couldn't pass anything on in the spirit to me, but my grandmother. You always hear me reference my grandmother. My grandmother would take me by the ear and bring me into church and sit me down in those pews and says, here, eat all this candy that you want to eat, but you need to just be quiet. And if you think I'm lying, you can ask my cousin Lionel. We were drugged there. We were taken on Via when there wasn't Via with internet, when it wasn't all that nice kind of ride. It's when you had to pull that little string in order that you get off of that bus stop. You had to pull that thing so hard that so many times that you would miss your stop because it wasn't working. And you'd have to walk a couple of blocks back because you missed it. Lionel knows about it because if we ever acted up in church, we would know we were going to get it because she wouldn't even look at you. Her hand would just reach out. Pain was associated. And they would look over at me and Lionel, and we'd be in tears, and they'd say, he got the Holy Ghost. No.
We got pinched. See, and I began to equate being in church that way. And so when I grew up going to these other kind of churches, I went to some tent revivals. My mom and my grandmother took me to a tent revival. You remember Galvan? I don't know if they took you there. I went there, and it was out in the country. I mean country. We didn't have no chairs to sit down. I started thinking about this, and they would take me. I said, oh, good, I get to go play outside. Grandma said, you're going to sit down. I said, where? Where? On the floor. I'm spooky. All kinds of little crawling critters. So I begin to equate, there's some things that I don't like in church. So I begin to grow up in church thinking there's some things that I'm going to have to look for and remember what was brought to my remembrance and how I was growing up. And my dad used to tell me, why are you going to church? Well, I have no choice. Mom told me to go. Grandma told me to go. I got to go. No, you ain't got to go to church, and you better not be getting the money. Dad only knew so much. But my grandmother said, if you have an understanding, told this to my mom, on what God can do with the little that you have. See, if you come from an Hispanic family, let me just help you a little. They try to talk all this kind of Spanish so that the kids don't understand. That's how we learn Spanish. That's how we learn Spanish. They start talking in Spanish over here. And like, I think I know that word. They're talking about me. I better... So you pick it up. That's how I started learning Spanish, because I wanted to know what they were saying. So she would talk to my mom, telling her, if you want your marriage to change, then you're going to have to release some things to God. My mom shared this with me one time. She says that she went to this tent revival, Godland Ministries, and I was with her. I was little. Don't think that I was big. I was little. And she gave her first fruit offering. And she says she did it for her beauty salon. It's before she had her own shop. She was working at back then it was called Big Store. And she worked in the store and doing the wigs and trying to sell wigs. And she wanted to start her own business. And I remember, because before she gave her envelope, I'm sitting there and I'm watching. I would always watch. I will watch. And I saw a big old envelope. And I'm watching her. And she's crying as she's giving it. But she gave it. And time went on. I didn't ask, because I never seen my mom cry like that. And my grandmother had reached over to her and says, watch now. Mira que va a pasar. Mira que va a hacer Dios. Look at what God's going to do. Watch now. So I didn't think anything, because, you know, kids lose attention quick. Went out and started running around playing snap. A couple of months later, my mom tells my dad, I want to open up a shop. That seed that she gave made a way for her to open up her beauty salon. And watch. Now, of course, my dad, whatever you need, you go get. So dad was very upset because she did something by faith concerning money. So he got very upset. But part of the seed that she gave is that she said that it's not about my marriage. It's about his salvation. His salvation. I hope you're hearing this. Because she says, I'm not concerned about my marriage per se. I want him saved. The scripture here is talking about the Apostle Paul writing to his son, Timothy. This is his spiritual son, not his biological. This is Timothy. Now, as he writes this, he's saying to bring to remembrance about what his grandmother, Lois, and then his mother. The father was absent. My father wasn't in the spirit, but my father taught me some things how to be a man. The only way that he knew how to be a man. And so over the course of time, I began to equate how men should be. But thank God, my dad was a big crybaby. Thank God. My dad was a loving, but I mean, he gets you, but he was loving. He would cry. And it taught me how to always show my emotions. And my wife said, man, you always cry when you're at church. When we first started going to church, you're always at the altar crying. What'd you do? Did you murder somebody or what? Who am I with? But I learned how, because my dad, he says, whatever is there, you got to let it go. It'll eat you up. But he didn't know anything about spirit. He was just, you got to let it go. Now watch this. I'm going to fast forward to the day that my dad was on his deathbed. This whole time, he didn't want to go to church. He didn't want to believe, but he would go to my grandmother for prayer. Something's going on in his life after they had divorced. My mom and dad divorced. He would go to my grandmother. I need prayer. And she would lay hands on him and pray for him. He would call her and she would pray over the phone. See, it's something when you know that you can always go back to a place that you know. And he went to her for prayer. On his deathbed, he looks over to my mom. Says, I want to be forgiven of my sins. My mom led him into the sinner's prayer. Salvation prayer really is what it is. He accepted Christ for the very first time on his deathbed. That next morning, the Lord took him. Her seed for his salvation, watch this, came to pass. And thank God it came to pass when it did. Amen? You don't know when it's going to happen, but it will happen. You don't know when or the circumstances, how it's going to be, but it will come to pass. The sacrifice that my mom made in that tent revival, I still see the fruit of it in my life. I said, Lord, you are something. He said, your daddy wasn't there to teach you how to be a spiritual man, but I had your grandmother and your mother teach you some things that your daddy couldn't teach you. The rest you're going to have to learn with me teaching you. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes we have absentee fathers in our life. You may have a father in your life, in your house, but they're not really involved with you in your life. Yo, this is going to be a happy message. Hold on. Y'all looking at me. You know, I work two jobs. And I'm just saying this to you as an example. This is not happening in his life. And they start to, oh my God, you put his business out there like that. When we work and we do so much to bless the house, we sometimes negate the children. Because we think ultimately, as long as the house is taken care of, then that's all that matters. If you ever ask a child what is the most important thing in their life, they're not going to tell you that the rent was paid. They're not going to tell you that the cable was paid. They may get mad if the internet's out. But what they're going to ask, or what they're going to respond with, is when daddy spent time with me. You see, the Bible says in Corinthians, I'm going to share this with you, there's another scripture, and I began to teach on this yesterday. It's in 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 17. Verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 4 says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you may have 10,000 teachers in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And here's the thing. We have a lot of mentors. We have a lot of influences in our life. But do we have a father that can speak to you? Do we have a father that can tell you the truth in your life? Do we have a father that can come in and be an impact in your life to spend time with you, to cultivate you, to become a better child? That's what we need to strive for. As men, we think that overall we need to be the provider of the house. How many of you were told that you got to provide? You got to provide for your family. You got to take care of your children. You got to take care of your family. You got to pay the bills. You got to go get a job. You got to do this. But if you neglect the spiritual side, if you neglect that, you're going to miss on everything else that you really want to pour into. Because I found that the scripture says that what you sow, you reap. And if we're sowing into our children's lives, you're going to see the harvest. You're going to see the harvest. But what if we're trying to raise a child based on only what we know? Can you take them any further? You can't take them any further unless you allow yourself to be taken further. And if you're taken further, you're able to speak into his or her life to share even more of what you've learned. Now, I don't know if I shared the story with you, but I shared it yesterday. I used to run track when I was in. Why are you laughing back there, man? Why are you? I did run track. I wasn't the fastest. But when I ran, I gave it my all. I did. I gave it my all. You know, there's some brothers out there, they can look good when they're running. Not me. I was throwing my arms. My coach says, I want you to run the relay. Relay? Coach, you know, I'm Marty Perez. Just making sure you know who I am. He says, I don't need you to be the fastest out there. I just need you to run your best. Because the one that I have that is going before you is fast enough to get it to you. And if you give me your all, that's why I want you there. Because you, everything that you do, you give me your all. I'm not gonna beat the guys next to me. No, but that's why I have somebody else that's going to hand the baton to you, that's going to give you enough lead to get further. He says, all I ask is don't leave too soon. Yeah, come here, Mike. This is the, okay, baton. Okay. He's the first runner. He's fast. He's real fast. Really, he is. Even in boots, he's fast. He's fast. Okay. Now, when you're in a relay, you only have a short distance that you can get a leadoff run. If you get out of your lane or if you leave too soon, you get disqualified. So he told me, he says, when you see him turn the corner, don't run. Just get ready. Okay? Don't run. Now, if he'd have told me get ready, what I would have done, because I know my shortcomings, I know I'm short, fat, and I'm not fast. So he made it a point to say, when you see him turn the corner, don't run. Just get ready. And then he says, when you see him touch that line, then put your hand back and start slow enough until you feel it. You see, there's some things in our life that we have to be looking for in anticipation, but we also have to be willing to wait for the appropriate time to get into position to receive. So Mike is coming around the corner, and he's huffing and puffing, but he's ahead of everybody else. And if I start leaving before it's too soon and I pass this line, I get disqualified. Because I'm trying to get ahead because of my shortcomings so that I don't look bad by getting past. Here's that line. Now, Mike's getting ready to cross that line, and we're running. He's running. Boom, and I get it now. I'm still within that range. Then, because it's in my hands, I can take off now. Right? What could happen between the handoff? Oh, Lord. Watch this. Let's do it again. Okay, here's the line. I can't move past that line. So I'm ready. And I look good back then. I was, but I still look good. She said, but you're short and fat, but I still look good. I always had the forward momentum going. Now, I was real skinny. Lionel would tell you, I was skinny in high school. It wasn't until lunchtime. So now I'm getting ready. Now I'm getting ready to receive. Now watch this. We both, the one that is handing it off and the one that is receiving, have to be in sync and have to be in the same lane at the same time. If I get this way out of my lane, we get disqualified. Mm-hmm. When we're running a race to get to where we're going, Daddy may be bringing something to you that you know that you're in need of, but we can't get out of the way to receive it. We've got to stay in the same lane. We have to be in sync. Bam. Okay, now, I get it. And he's running with me because he's still running. He's got that speed. And I am kind of trying to get my speed. And what will happen at times, and it happened to me, because if anything that goes wrong. My first match. And I get it. I get so excited. I dropped it. Now, I don't know about you, but because you know you already messed up, some of you would quit. Some of you would quit because you know you messed up and you're already disqualified. This is what I did. Because I will not quit, I kept going. Yeah, it sounds real good, but let me show you how I did it. When it goes wrong. I kicked it so far ahead, and everybody starts laughing because I'm trying to run after it to get it. I kept kicking it, but I wouldn't stop. You think I'm kidding? I wish they had it recorded. It went out. It went all the way out outside the track. Brother, I had to run and go get it. I got it from the grass. And I kept running. I came back. I'm so mad, right? So now I'm running, and we're disqualified, and I'm running. But the other runner left. Watch this. Because of your mistakes that you think disqualify you, the one that should be receiving it next will see your mistakes, and they'll quit. But the truth of the matter is, watch who really got in trouble. You think that this one got in trouble for dropping it and kicking it way off course? No, because I had to finish the whole race because the one I was handing it to quit. The one in front of him quit. The anchor quit. And I ran the whole thing. And I came in and I cried to the coach, I'm sorry I dropped it. He goes, you ain't in trouble. You finished your race. They quit. Just because you mess up as you're receiving, pick it up and run your race. You run your race. Maybe Daddy didn't have what was necessary to make me win, but maybe what he gives me, I will have to give to the next person. Come on, Sylvia, next person. The next person that receives it will take what I have and go over there, Kelly. Is going to give it to the next person what they receive, and now Kelly's going to get what Sylvia received, and now it's going to continue on. We have a responsibility for the course that we're on and the track that we're running to carry what's been given. It's not our responsibility to look at it on who finishes. We are supposed to keep passing the baton to the next runner in the race. We can't stop just because we messed up. We can't stop because we want to quit. We can't stop because we're tired. We can't stop because of excuses. I could have quit. Coach says, that's why I put you there. Because you don't quit. And when you don't quit, I could look back over the course that I was running. And guess who I saw? The one that wasn't mentioned before. My dad taught me, what you start, don't you ever quit. You give it your all. And if you don't like it, you finish the season and then you get out. He says, you think that the little things that you're learning from someone is insignificant is going to be the major thing in your life that's going to help you get over the humps in your life. And I can look back, look to Daddy, even today, I told him, thank you for being an influence the only way you knew how. But when I needed spiritual guidance, I knew how to go to Grandma. I knew how to go to Mama. And then eventually, I had to go myself. And I had to go to God, knowing that my earthly father told me, don't ever quit what you start, because then it gets easier to quit. What you carry, thank you, Mike. Thank you, sir. What you carry is what you're about to release to the next generation. So the Apostle Paul was telling this to Timothy. He says, I think about and I bring to remembrance all the time about how your grandmother and how your mother had the faith, and it's also in you. You know what a spiritual father does? You know what a real father does? A real mother does? They see your potential. Maybe you don't see it, but they see your potential, and they tell you don't quit, and you just keep on. You don't give up. See, the Beijing Olympics was when both the women's 100 relay and the men's 100 relay both got disqualified for dropping the baton. Both of them. And they were poised to win gold. You can be in position and be trained up to win, but if you're not in sync with the Father, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. Stay in sync with your Heavenly Father. Whatever He's leading you to do, you do. Whatever He's asking of you to do, just do. It's the moment that we delay is where disobedience comes in. Oh, but I did it. But your delayed obedience is disobedience. One of the things we have to understand that God is here to help us through every step of our life. The Bible says that I have run my course. I have finished my race. And I've reached my prize. We run it the way we only know how to run it, with everything that we've got, with what the generation prior has given to us. And if you feel like you're stuck somewhere, just go back and look over where you've been and bring to remembrance of what was spoken concerning you. Some of us need the negative to get us excited to do. Some of us have the hardships of life to say, you know what, I'm going to be determined now to make it right. You know how you have a successor in life? That they surpass where you're at. And I told my mom yesterday, talking to her on the phone, I said, I'm glad that you take the time to get away and spend time with your husband and go fishing, hanging out at the pool, whatever. Because everything that you have done has been hard. Everything that you have labored for was hard. And if you don't enjoy life now, you'll miss it. She says, but you don't understand. I miss church. I said, no, you miss me. I know you do. You miss me. And she says, I do. I do. I miss church and I miss you. And I said, but your baby has to grow. Your baby has to learn how to run. But you'll always be my baby, mijo. I am a big crybaby. Always be a baby. Anytime you want to cook for me, anytime you want to just, I'm there. But you need your time. You need your time. So I say this to you. Run your course. Run your course. Give it your all. Give it your all. And if you didn't have a role model as a father that you could look up to that would teach you some things, there's nothing wrong asking the Father to teach you. Because his word says that no man has to teach you or needs to teach you, but the Holy Spirit can teach you all things. All things. Now I ask you, are you running your race? Are you running your race? Because if you're running your race, you have to be looking with anticipation to receive. You can only take it so far in your life. Because at the end of your race, somebody else's race starts. Amen. As the guys are playing right now, I want you to stand to your feet. And if you know that this is something that you're saying, I want to run my course. And I want to give it my all. Pastor, this message is for me. I'm not going to quit. I've had to wait a long time. There ain't nothing wrong with waiting a little bit longer. You don't know what I've been through before. I've gotten tired of being on the edge of my seat getting ready to receive. And then it don't happen. Something else gets thrown into the mix. I'm ready to receive what you have for me in this race. And if that's you, I want you to come to the altar. And I'm going to do what the Bible says that Jacob did to his sons. The title of this real message that I have for you is Dad's Touch of Empowerment. Dad's Touch of Empowerment. Let's spread out. If you got to go all the way out there on the side, go to the side. I'll come to you. I'll come to you. You see, Jacob had his 12 sons. And he brought them in. He called them in. And to each one of his sons, he spoke to them. He spoke to what was going to take place in their life and what God had in store for them. What he did was he affirmed them in who they are. And then he tells them how much he loves them and how much he could do for them. Jacob was a very wealthy man in the very end of his life. He listened to God, he obeyed God, and God blessed him and enlarged him and gave him more, gave him increase. And before he died, he blessed his children. And as he released that blessing, we'll read that the 12 tribes have received exactly what that blessing of that father was. As Pastor Inez is coming to anoint you with oil, right now I just want you to look at, don't look at your mistakes. That's just part of your race. Don't look at what could have been, what you could have done, what you should have done. That was just part of the race. What if I would have done this different? That's just part of the race. But sometimes I feel that I didn't give it my all. That's just part of the race. You don't know when it's going to be over, your portion of the race. It's just time to run it by giving it your all. You give it your all. I'm going to say to you what my coach told me. When you see him turn that corner, don't run. Just get ready. Just get ready. I tell you, don't run from him. Run to him. Because what's going to take place as you run to God, he will reveal to you your next step in the race. He will reveal to you the next step in the race. He's going to help you. And whatever was missing and whatever was lacking, whatever was broken, will be filled, will be mended, and will be made whole. Be made whole. Our Father, each and every individual that is here standing at this altar, Lord, they've come to stand before men and to stand before you. They've acknowledged the call from the messenger that you have sent. And as they respond to the call, Lord, draw nigh to them because they have drawn nigh to you. As I lay hands on you, I want you to receive the blessing of the Father. Not only receive the blessing of the Father, but receive the empowerment. The empowerment. Yeah. Do that, Caleb. Stay right there, Caleb. Stay right there, Caleb. That's good. I bless you, sir. I release the blessing of the Father that comes from Almighty God. You receive the empowerment. Receive the acknowledgement. The edification. Be affirmed, man of God. Be affirmed. You are loved by the Father. You are loved by many. Take your position. Be anticipating the release so that you can receive with anticipation. Don't look over the course of your race. My mistakes. Look over the course of your race and say, only God did this. Only God can bring me to where I am today. He didn't leave you for dead. He brought you all the way through. He didn't let it take you out. He used it to bring you in. What the enemy used for evil, God turned it for his good and for his glory. Even more is taking place in you, son. Let him do it. Let him do it. Therefore, there be no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You're being too hard on yourself, son. You're being too hard on yourself. Yes, amen.